Welcome to the Real Vintage Podcast with your host, Stephen Cox. On today's episode,
God, I've read my Bible today. I've prayed. I've witnessed to somebody. I've been a good boy. I've been a good girl. Why am I going through this?
All that and more coming up next.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Vintage Podcast. And this is your host, Stephen Cox, and I'm with my producer, Ken Everson. And Ken is in the office today. Of course, he's not mic'd up, but he is certainly behind the scenes making all this work out. We want to apologize a little bit. We did record this episode last week, and we were going to put it out on Friday morning as our usual, I guess, release day. And there was some glitches in the recording. He couldn't fix them, couldn't edit his way around it. So he just felt terrible, and we both did, because we like to put it out on Friday, but we didn't want to put out anything that was a problem. And so we just decided to re-record and to come in here on Sunday after our after Sunday lunch, after our morning services. And we want to do it again. So we want to release this. So very thankful that you were patient with us, and we were excited about it. We had a great day today. Today, of course, being Sunday on our record day. And we had some families join our church and had just great morning services. Our special guest this weekend is Evangelist Ron Lynch. Ron is a dear friend, and we have a lot of mutual friends. And Ron preached out of Romans 6 today, basically on the crucified life, dying to self, what New Testament revival is all about, death to self, and living Christ in us. And we are in Christ, and just a great convicting message this morning in both services, and just wonderful. The Lord's added to our church, had a some young people get saved on Saturday, and so Lord's really blessing here at Bible Baptist, and wanted to share that with you. And we're glad to have some podcast listeners. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to like it. I want you to share our podcast, if you would, comment, and let us know that you're listening. And, man, that would be a huge blessing to us. We did receive one voice message this week from one of my, former students, Darren. Darren, I'm glad you messaged us. And that recording was a blessing. And I want to just share that with you, how God was working in his life and used one of the episodes on priorities. And Darren's been very successful and got a beautiful family. But he said, hey, you know, it just convicted me about some priorities in my life. And I appreciate you listening. And anytime you feel the need or the urge to email us or maybe comment or even send a voice message, that goes directly to our app or the website. We can listen to it. And I'm telling you, man, it is a blessing to us and kind of puts a little fire in our soul to do some more. And so keep that up. And I was at a RISE conference a few weeks ago with C.T. Townsend. Had several young people, young adults and pastors approach me and say, hey, we listen to every podcast. And man, that was a blessing. And I love it. I was at Pastor Scott Gray's youth conference a few weeks ago, or actually this past week on Tuesday. I preached in the morning services and had some young ladies that sung that morning. I believe their names are the Daughters of Calvary, and that's a blessing too. They did such a good job. And they also commented that they listened to the podcast, and they were saying that they really enjoy the podcast with my wife Rebecca joining me. And I'm sure we need a stronger female presence at times, and so we'll get that in the future. But you know, those of you that's just hung with us in the last year and listened to these podcasts, and we took a little time off at the first of the year, but we're back and we're excited. We're fired up about what the Lord is doing, and hope that he's using the podcast in your life and encouraging a little bit this week. We have a big day Tuesday. Of course, we have our Tuesday night, August meetings, and they start up at 7 o'clock. Ron Lynch will be back with us Tuesday night at 7. You're more than welcome to join us. If you're just now listening to the podcast and it's Wednesday, then I'm sorry, it was a little late. But next Tuesday or the following Tuesday, my dad will be preaching for us here at Bible Baptist. And then the last Tuesday, Kenny Kuykendall will be preaching for us. And we're so excited. We've had Kenny on the podcast. Kenny's an author. He's a great pastor and a dear friend. And my dad, what an honor. Every year he does such a fabulous job. So I'm just excited about the month of August. But I want you to pray, especially this Tuesday. We find out about our church situation. We made an offer on our church that's right next to us about 2 months ago, and we've just been waiting. Well, they got all the title work cleared out, and they're meeting on Monday. And if some of you are listening on Monday, they're meeting today. So I want you to say a little prayer for Bible Baptist, and they're going to let us know if they're going to receive our offer on Tuesday. So just make that a matter of prayer, and that would be huge for our church, and just huge in the future growth and all the things that we, even the current needs that we have right now. And here we are right in the midst of it. God's doing something, and we're just so thankful that what he's doing is just, we want his will. We want his will and his way. And so make that a matter of prayer if you would. I was reading in my devotions a couple weeks ago. I even preached a message. We do a series in our summertime called A Summer in the Psalms. And some of you pastors know what I'm talking about. You'll take the summertime. It's a heavy vacation season, and people, you know, sometimes they're here for a couple weeks and they're gone, and they're here for, and then school gets back in, everybody's kind of gets back in that routine. But I take the summertime and I preach, I'll pick several psalms and I'll preach through some of those psalms, and one of the psalms that just encouraged my heart greatly recently was Psalms 57. I shared it with our church a couple weeks ago. And I want to kind of share it on the podcast because it spoke to me personally. And I don't know about you pastors and preachers, but I know that sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm not so much preaching to the audience. I'm preaching to myself. And this message was to me. And, I don't know if you've ever been there. You can relate. But I feel like some of the most effective messages that I preach, where people say, Pastor, that really helped me. It really wasn't even to that person or to the people as much as it was actually a message to me. And if you've preached any amount of time, you've preached a message where you felt like, man, if I'm the only one here getting this, this is helping me. And that's how I felt a few weeks ago. And David is in a situation, of course, if you have your Bible close by, or if you can go home later on, if you're driving to work or something, you may not have access to a Bible now, but later in your devotions, if you'll check out Psalms 57, you'll notice that the heading of that psalm, it says when David was running from Saul in the cave, something to that nature. It may be worded a little different, but it's above the heading of most Bibles, above right under Psalm 57. It'll say about David running from Saul in the cave. There was a time when David was running for his life, literally. He was the anointed of God. He was God's man, the next king of Israel. But there was also another anointed who had been anointed prior, and that was King Saul. Saul had many problems. One of the problems that he had was he was very envious and very jealous of David. And that green eye of jealousy, it rose up in Saul, and Saul eventually began to hate David. Every time David was around him, that jealousy would really rise up, and he would attack David, tried to kill him on many situations, many circumstances. And so David flees Saul for his life, and Saul goes after him. David finds himself in a cave, and he's writing this psalm that starts out as a cry for mercy to God. In verse 1, it just says, Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Now, nowhere in Psalm 57 do I see God answer David. David is crying out to God. God gives David no explanation as to what's going on in David's life. Now, I don't know about you, but I know me that sometimes in the trial of my life, I feel that, you know, it's when you have an explanation, like for instance, when I was a child and my mom and dad used to chasten me, spank me, whoop me for doing wrong, they would sometimes set me down and say, now, son, this is why I'm spanking you. And by the way, that's probably the best way to do it. Explain to your kid, this is what you did. And before I spank you, you know, this is what you're getting a spanking for. Well, there was times, though, that I didn't get that explanation. I was just going through it, and they told me afterwards. And maybe mom and dad were very upset. I feel like though David is not chastening, though God is not chastening David, he is certainly going through a trial. And I guarantee that in David's heart, he's begging and crying out to God, saying, God, please have mercy on me. I don't understand this storm that you've allowed me to go through. Why am I running when you've anointed me? Why am I running from the man? And by the way, I believe that David loved Saul. And I believe that we know that David loved Jonathan. And so he's brokenhearted at this situation. I remember reading something one time where Elizabeth Elliot, she was the wife of Jim Elliot. Jim was martyred there trying to reach the Alka tribe. And him and Nate Saint, a couple other men, were martyred. Elizabeth Elliot, many people don't understand this, but she married another man by the name of Addison Letch, who died of cancer years later. And anyway, she was speaking at a missions conference, the Urbana Missions Conference. This was in the late 70s. She told a story about how she went overseas to Wales. She was with a shepherd's wife watching some men out in the field tend to sheep, and they were actually taking these sheep and they were running them up a ramp, dipping them down into a antibacterial liquid, literally submerging them in it, picking them up and kind of throwing them to the side. Well, then another shepherd would grab that same sheep and would dip them in again a second time, submerge them in and throw them back out. And it almost looked torturous to these animals, what they were doing, but they were actually saving their lives because they were dipping them in that antiseptic so they would not get parasites. Well, Elizabeth Elliot looked at it. She's like, man, them sheep can't be enjoying that. And she looked at the shepherd's wife, and she said, do you think they realize what's going on? And the shepherd's wife says, man, they have no clue what they're doing. We do this several times a year. They have no clue. And Elizabeth Elliot made this statement. She said, I've had some experiences in my life that have made me feel very sympathetic to those sheep. She said, I couldn't figure out any reason for the treatment that I was getting from the shepherd that I trusted. Then she said this. He didn't even give me a hint of explanation. If there's anybody that had a reason to maybe question God a little bit, you think your first husband that you loved died trying to get the gospel to this tribe. The second husband you loved died of cancer. And there's many things that come through this. I mean, the traumatic experiences, the things that this woman faced, yet she was still faithful to God, still invested into others, and she had no explanation from God. David is in the same place. And by the way, there's somebody listening today that you're in that same spot. You're in a trial. You're in something that you feel as if, God, I wish God would explain what he's doing. I've been in that situation. I've personally, we went through our church fire 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, and our church had one side of it we couldn't use, heavy smoke damage, heavy flood, water damage, holes in our roof, lost our offices, lost our books. Lost everything, lost all the records to our church, lost it all, lost restrooms and a whole side of our auditorium we couldn't use, and terrible time. Well, not only that, we had set up a big tent behind the church, and we were using that for kids' ministry because it limited us quite a bit. And a big, strong storm came through and tore our tent down 2 weeks or 3 weeks after the fire. I mean, literally picked this 300-seat tent up, twisted the poles, the metal. I mean, it was a big tent. And there it is laying on the ground, tore all to pieces. My building is, I can't use half of it. I lost all my personal possessions, my Bibles except one. Lost all my commentaries and books and memorabilia and things that people had given me through the years. And it was a trial as a young pastor 2 years into my pastorate here that already had some trials going on. And then to add to that, and no explanation from God. God, why are you doing nothing? And it was a tough time, to say the least. I wish I could go into more detail, but it was just a tough time emotionally, spiritually. I went into a kind of a dark for about 3 months. I was struggling preaching. I had to even apologize to our church one Sunday night. I was preaching, and I had to apologize because I lost my place, and it was I was in more of a brain fog type. And until you've been there, and just been through a trial where it's traumatic. You don't understand it, and you're just in it, and you don't understand what God's doing. That's exactly where David's at. He's running from his life. He doesn't understand Saul's and his hatred. He doesn't understand why a future king is living in a damp cave and in a dark cave and in a cave where he shouldn't be, away from his family, away from his friends, and running for his life. Through all of this, I believe that the ultimate reason that through all this, we understand that God gets the glory through every trial. And that's kind of where I'm getting at, because David says in verse 2 of Psalm 57, he says, "I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." He does all things. So I'm crying out to God through prayer. What should this cause us to do? Well, we should pray in the midst of a trial. We should glorify God. That God receives glory through this trial. And I want to make a statement that God's glory should be the aim at all times, but especially in a time of trial, especially in a dark time, especially in a time of discouragement. God should be receiving the glory. What does it mean to glorify God? Well, the Hebrew word kabod has the idea of a weight or a heaviness or a worthiness or a reputation. And it was used of men to describe a man of substance or weight. And as Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That's the good times, that's the bad times. That's covering the bases. And what God is saying here, or what David rather, through the inspiration of the Spirit, he's saying that we should, that he cried out to God in verse 2, that in the time of trial, that's who he turned to. And he talks about trust in verse 1. He says, I trusteth in thee, my soul trusteth in thee. And I believe that when we trust God, we are giving God the glory when through a trial we trust him. And trust involves relying on God alone, not relying on others, not relying on our human merit. That's not what we don't rely on our human means. A lot of people today are relying on their own strength. They're relying on their own merit. What people think is, God, I've read my Bible today. I've prayed. I've witnessed to somebody. I've been a good boy. I've been a good girl. Why am I going through this? Well, could it be that God wants the glory? Could it be that he wants you to trust him? And, you know, so let's not rely on human means. Let's not rely on human merit. Human means there's a lot of gifted men out here and gifted women that can sing and preach and work and labor and write and do all these things. But they're what's sad is they're trusting in the means. They're trusting in a nice church. They're trusting in a big church. They're trusting in a big ministry. But they're not solely relying on God. And so let's be careful about that. Trust involves going to God in prayer. As I said earlier, David cried out to God, and prayer says to God and to anyone else around, I am a dependent person. I am depending on you. Now, I want you to look at something. There's an interesting verse found in verse number three, and we'll read verse 3. It says, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions." So David starts using some poetic language. "And I lie even among them that are set on fire." He's talking about his enemies, the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. But then he says in verse 5, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." So verse 5 doesn't seem to fit in between verses 4 and verse 6, because then he goes and talks about in verse 6, "They've prepared a net for my steps." What happened in verse 5 that caused David to start exalting the Lord? Well, I believe that David had a realization that his God is bigger than his problems. And until we realize that God is bigger than our problems, we serve a big God. Pastor, layman, missionary, whatever you are, and wherever you're at, whatever need that you're facing today, your God is bigger. He's worthy. He desires the glory. If we're ultimately going to give God the glory for whatever he does, you don't think God's wanting the glory? God will bless you for the fact that you trusted him. And he wants to give us those things. He wants to use us. But often we're tied up in ourself, human means, human merits. What can we do? What can we do better? What can we do? No, it's what can God do? We serve a big and mighty God. The second thing, and I'm done, is God is glorified when we praise him in our trials. This is really where I'm going. In verse 7, he says, in verse 6, he said that they prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. Twice he says, let's meditate. Let's think about what was said. Then he says in verse 7, my heart is fixed. Here's the whole psalm in a nutshell. He says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And then he says in verse 8, awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery in heart. I myself will awake early. David literally switches gears from verses 1 through verses 6, and he goes into verses 7, and he starts praising God in the midst of a cave. Where did it start? Well, he said in verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. That word fixed in verse 7 is the same word in verse 6 as the word prepared. Same Hebrew word, prepared and fixed. What is David saying? While my enemies is preparing a net for me to capture me, I'm preparing my heart for God. And I honestly believe that in the midst of our trials, no matter if it's a personal attack or an attack, let's say I know pastors right now going through times struggling in their church. Maybe they're under attack. Maybe they're attacked from the outside. Maybe they're just going through the trials and their heart is not fixed. It's broken. Broken into 1,000 pieces. They're not prepared for worship. They're not prepared to glorify God. David said this, I'm not going to prepare my heart to capture my enemy. I'm not going to prepare my heart to attack the enemy. I'm not going to prepare my heart to go after anybody. I'm preparing my heart for God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I will sing. You know what will take the song from a Christian? I'm talking about just like a snap of a finger. I mean, we'll take it. Sin. Sin robs us of our song. Sin robs us of our joy. And by the way, pastors, we're right in the groups of that. It takes our joy. It takes our song where we used to sing praise to God. We used to worship God. And sin that's just festered up in our heart, if we don't fix our heart, and we don't have a revival in our heart, if you will, of preparing. I pour my heart out every Sunday to our church, and I'll preach three times. I'll teach a singles class on there. So really four times I'm speaking on Sunday, every Sunday. And I have to have a prepared heart. I do. And you know when I start working on that heart? Monday. I don't get right on Saturday. I don't get my heart prepared. I don't get my message prepared. My message is my heart. I don't want to preach sermons. I want to preach messages. Now, I'm talking about messages I preach expositionally, so I'll preach through a book of the Bible or a series of chapters or whatever, but it's not about just the sermon that I'm delivering. It's the heart that I'm delivering. I want our church to see my heart. How can they see my, and by the way, they will. They'll see through the sermon. Preacher, your life is the sermon. So when you get up there to preach, the people, they'll see it. They'll hear it. And we need to have a fixed heart, a prepared heart. A prepared preacher is a prepared message. And I want my heart fixed. I don't care what the enemies say. I don't care what social media says. I don't care what people are saying and all. And by the way, I know that we want everybody to like us. They're not. And we want every circumstance to go good. They're not. We want every trial to have a good ending. It doesn't always work that way. Ask Elizabeth Elliot. Sometimes we don't get an explanation, but guess what? One day we'll face God and we'll know. And guess what? What matter? And by the way, it won't matter then, but is our heart fixed? I want to make an impact in this world today. And this chapter spoke to my heart in many ways. But David is still in the cave, but he's got a fixed heart. David still has enemies at the foot of the mountain, but he's got a fixed heart. David is not sitting on the throne, but he's king. But he's got a fixed heart. And I want us to have a fixed heart, because it says in verse 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. David was going to sing among the nations. That's not like he was going to go to China and then go to South America and then go up to North America, and then he was going to go over to Egypt and Africa and then sing to the nations. No, that's not what David was talking about. He said, I'm going to sing and be an example among those that don't believe, those that don't put their trust in God. I want them to see a man that goes through a trial who wants to give God the glory so they can see how great God is. God gets the glory. I will sing among the nations, those that don't believe. Verse 10, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. And be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David is literally glorifying God, worshiping God. Again, folks, I don't know. I usually don't go and give a devotional on the podcast. Sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. But I couldn't get this off my heart. And when Ken let me know that our previous podcast was had some problems, I just told him. I said, Ken, let's do it again. Do it like we did the first time. God put a message in my heart. He's put a song in my heart. I want to give God the glory on this podcast. And I don't know who's listening, and I don't know what you're going through, but I know what I've been through. And my wife and I has had two miscarriages. We've had to walk through that, and, you know, tough times. We've had other things that we just have to walk through and figure it out and trust God. And sometimes you don't figure it out. And sometimes there is no explanation, but we have a great God, and He gets the glory. And I want the nations to know about Him, and I want my community to know about Him. And I want to have a fixed heart. I want my church to know that their pastor's fixed and that he's prepared for worship. And my prayer today is that this podcast will be a blessing to you, as Psalm 57 has been a blessing to me. Go back and read it. It's a great, great, great chapter. I hope that you're going to share this. There may be somebody that doesn't listen to the podcast. This might could help. Recommend it. Text it to them. Listen to it on all the different platforms, and then go and like our social media. We have a Facebook page, Real Vintage Podcast. We have an Instagram, and we also have a Twitter account. So you can go and follow us, and any update we may have or any announcement, we may share that on there. So I'm glad that you tuned in today, and we're I know it's a different off day for us, but we're just glad to get it out here. And again, share it like it's a Friday and listen to it. And then tell the good news to somebody else. God bless you. Thank you for downloading today. Thank you for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast. You can connect with us through social media at facebook.com/realvintagepodcast or Instagram at realvintagepodcast or even Twitter at real_vintage. Also, feel free to email us at realvintagepodcast@gmail.com. And again, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for another episode next week. God bless.